I don't know what year the advertisement started for the particular cell phone company, but they made popular saying, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" We're going to talk about hearing tonight. Matthew 7, let's begin in verse 21. "From my Lord, not every one that saith to me, Lord, Lord," the repetitive name is an endearing type of presentation. It's not a matter of, you know, somebody's trying to get your attention, but it's a tenderness that is demonstrated. So not everyone that shows a great tenderness towards the Lord, not everyone who demonstrates a certain intimacy with the Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You get that? Okay. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day," again, "Lord, Lord," same thing again, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" All these appeals, by the way, again, are appeals of works, as if works gain us entrance into heaven. "Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" The Lord said, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, "I will liken him," that individual, "unto a wise man." This is wisdom. "To hear the Lord with the intent of doing them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Of course, these words are spoken by our Lord to his disciples. And we have to hear to know what we are supposed to do. So we have to hear to do. We have to hear first to do. You can hear without doing, but you cannot do without first hearing. And so hearing is paramount, and the type of hearing is very important. Oftentimes we men are charged by our wives of having selective hearing, and there's probably a certain element of truth to that. You know, if the shoe fits, wear it, my mother would say. There's probably something to be said about that. But we have to first hear to be able to apply. And we know, of course, Paul's words, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So it's not only hearing, but it's hearing the right source, the right truth, the truth that thy word is truth, the word of God. Then the Lord gives us a contrast between the wise and the foolish. As we continue in that text of Romans, I'm sorry, not Romans 10, but Matthew 7, verse 25. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock." Now, that's application, of course, for the wise who hear the words of the Lord and then doeth them. That's the wise man. "And when the circumstances come, winds blow, beat upon the house, it fell not, our lives fall not, we don't fall apart." Why? Because we're founded upon the rock. All right. And in contrast to that, "everyone that heareth these sayings of mine," they hear and doeth them not, "shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came," same elements, same rain, circumstances of earth, I lost my sight. "He likened to the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And, not only did it fall, and great was the fall of it." A lot of people who are building their lives on the sand, expect a soft depression or a soft landing, a soft recession, you know. In other words, they don't expect to be hit hard, but that typically is not what is going to happen. There is the school and there's the school of hard knocks, and this is the school of the hard knocks. The Bible says, and it fell, and we can't miss that, great was the fall of it. It went down, and it went down what? Hard. Went down hard. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And of course, we spoke about that to the last Sunday. You know how it's imperative that we communicate God's word with authority. And certainly, no one has greater authority than our Lord. Well, earlier in that same passage in chapter 17, chapter 17, verse 5 of Matthew, we find an occasion there in Matthew 17. Flip over there, Matthew chapter 17. We find again an imperative to hear the Lord. And this time it comes straight from the lips of the Heavenly Father. In Matthew 17, beginning in verse 5 and then in verse 6, yet while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye, all of you, right? All of you. So why? It's plural. T is singular. Every believer needs to hear who? Him, the Lord. Hear the Lord Jesus. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. First point, all Christians should listen to the Lord. All Christians should listen to the Lord. As a matter of fact, you can't really become a Christian without listening to the Lord. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come unto me. The Lord said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Not only that, he says, and I know them, and they follow me. Sounds very similar to the case in the Gospel of Matthew, doesn't it? Now turn over to the book of James, James chapter 1. Because how often it is that we, as individuals or believers, seek to blame our problems on others, even blame God for our problems or for our temptations or our fallings or failings. We have a tendency to always want to try to blame someone else. So let's begin in verse 13 of James 1. You there? You there? Say amen. All right. Verse 13. Let no man say when he, so even down to the individual, no longer ye, but he is tempted, don't say, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But this is how it works. Every man is tempted, how? When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it's brought in, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Then the great warning, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear. Now, I hear something about these Swifties, and I'm not exactly sure what they are, but I don't think that has anything to do with James 1. Probably not, right? Probably not. But there is something we ought to be swift about, and that's swift to hear. Let every man, not just some men, but let every man, let every individual be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, the overheating of man's spirit, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So, quick sidebar that encompassed a lot of study, many books studied, much counsel. For God is holy in all of his decisions. God is holy in all of his justice. God can enact wrath and be 100% right 100% of the time. Human beings cannot. Cannot. Therefore, contrary to popular opinion, contrary to so many writers and even preachers, I'm sorry, but preachers speak out of both sides of the mouth when they say, get rid of all wrath, all malice, all overheating, but at the same time, you're supposed to keep something called righteous indignation. Well, indignation is a hair width away from wrath. No, there's no such thing for human beings as righteous indignation. Is there passion? Yes. Is there fervency? Yes. Is there jealousy, godly jealousy? Yes. But this is beyond that. This is in that area, in that sphere of losing control. And that's why it's forbidden by God. And it's considered to be out of bounds. All right? Out of bounds. All right? For the wrath of man, again, verse 20, worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and here's our theme again, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So if you are not both a hearer and a doer, we are deceiving, what? Our own selves. Our own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, this is what he's like. He's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, so continually walking therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James teaches us that if we claim to believe in Christ and do not practice what he says, we're not very different from the demons who know who he is, but choose not to honor him and obey his words, for they believe that he is. They know him. Christian works, Christian responses to God's word are a indication, a strong sign, some relative evidence of our genuine faith and the vitality of our faith. The more vital, the more active and vibrant our faith is, the more active our Christian works will be. And we are called to let our light so shine among men that others may see our good works and glorify the Father, of course. Therefore, James says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, he who claims to be a child of God, but listens only to the world, doesn't have God for his God. They have the world for their God. They're following the world. They are loving the world when the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Their love has not been transferred to God. If we listen more to self than we do to God, we've made a God out of self. And I talked about that in the sense of humanism this last Lord's Day. And if we listen to the world, of course, then we're following the world and we're guilty of that. Now, if we're guilty of putting anyone or anything in front of God, we are then guilty of idolatry. We're putting something in front of God and God tells us, don't put anything or anyone before me, right? Anyone or anything before me. But if we listen to God, we are called the sheep of God. We're called the sheep of His pasture. And His pasture is wonderful. You can go across the countryside and you can drive down the highway. And I like driving more than flying, by the way. I do enjoy flying, especially if I'm in a smaller aircraft where I can kind of see more. Not see more, but see more, you know. My wife is always looking for those little funnies, you know. So you said you know a man by the name of Seymour. Did you say that in your service? But I like to be able to see the terrain. I like to be able to see the landscape. And I'll really like to see it if it's a beautiful landscape. And Brother Gabe and Miss Sydney, they just got back from their camping vacation. They went up all through the San Juan Mountains there in the Million Dollar Highway and the other side of Colorado and up through that area, of course, where Caselyn's wedding was. And that's a beautiful area. And I don't know. I think there's a conspiracy going on because, you know, next thing you know, here pops up a little slideshow. And where is it taking you? It's taking you on a ride. What I was talking about, Durango and Ouray and all that stuff. And so I watched that again and going up through there and it just captures you, you know, because it's beautiful. Well, you go out certain landscapes and you say, man, that's pretty. And you just slow down, just kind of take it in. Other landscapes like Odessa, Texas, you just keep on going, you know, just don't even look out too much. You know, you might get trapped or something out there. But it's not so attractive, right? It's not so attractive. And some places are like that. And some places are just absolutely beautiful. We went through parts of Utah, and parts of Utah were as ugly as anything I've ever seen in my life. Looked like the backside of dusty rhinoceroses or something, you know, out there. And then other places are just drop-dead gorgeous. And who doesn't like to see beautiful pastures? Beautiful pastures. And all the cows are just fat as can be. The horses run around. There's no, you know, bony horses and cows running around in that pasture. They're just loaded up and having a ball. Well, I want you to know, if we graze in God's pasture, boy, will we be healthy. We will be healthy. We will be, as the Bible even says, made fat, made healthy, and filled in the Lord. We are sheep of His pasture. But as Paul identifies for us, especially in the book of Romans, particularly in chapter 7, as long as we are in this body, as long as we are in what Paul calls this body, our flesh, we are in the flesh, we're going to have sinful inclinations in our body which complicate our hearing capabilities, all right? Because what we should be doing, we find ourselves not doing. And what we find ourselves that we should not do, we find ourselves doing. And that's the struggle that we're going to have. And that struggle, by the way, is only temporary. It's only as long as we have this, we're walking around in this tabernacle, this flesh. Because when we get a glorified body, that's all out. That's gone. That's gone. We're going to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, yet this fact, the problem that we are going to have with the listening issues, we have to be careful about that because it is possible for it to lead to our destruction if we don't listen well. It's possible, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Many people who name the name of Christ, their lives are in shatters today, but it wasn't required. It wasn't necessary. That wasn't required. In other words, they didn't have to drive off into the ditch. They didn't have to do that. It was not God's will that they be in the ditch. Amen. And if they got in the ditch, it's not God's fault that they're in the ditch. But they're in the ditch nonetheless. But it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to have all of these setbacks and hindrances. Sometimes people get off in the ditch and now they're in the ditch for the next 5 years, 10 years. They've lost 10 years of their life. And maybe they lost those 10 years of life in the highly developmental area and times of their children's lives. Now they're in great danger of losing their children because of the 10-year season they were in the ditch. You follow me? So it's very, very important we stay out of the ditches of life. Very important. Don't get in. If you get in the ditch, okay, it happens, right? It does happen. We all get in the ditch. Now, could I tell on Brother Colt? Could I tell on him? We treated him good, and boy, the church did, and everybody's proud, and I know I am too. And I told you that he was going to have unexpected expenses. Didn't I tell you that? We all know he's going to have unexpected expenses. They come up. So we just gave him a little extra, right? Gave him a little extra. Well, he wasn't even parked in his front yard before he had run into one of those extras. And he sent me a text and had a picture on it and had that big U-Haul that he was driving up there. And he said, well, we made it, almost. Well, there was a trash can. He goes to pull in off the street. Instead of swinging extra wide, he went off the right-hand side, and the U-Haul now has the inside tires off the road in the ditch. The whole truck is setting down on the differential, not on the tire, and on the back of the truck. And I thought he was on a road somewhere. And I'm like, oh, well, I can't get up there that fast. You're too far away. I can't get up there and you get him out of trouble. You know, I can't do it. And then I find out, no, that was his driveway. And so he called a wrecker out. And, of course, the first wrecker that he called said, oh, well, what size of truck do you have? Is it a pickup truck? Oh, no, it's a U-Haul. Oh, it's a big U-Haul. Is it loaded? Oh, yeah, it's loaded. It's loaded down. You're going to have to call a larger wrecker than ours. We're not going to be able to take care of you. So Brother Jordan, he's laughing back here. And so they have to get the big semi, you know, rig out there to pull him out. And he said, well, what are you going to do? And so they just hooked up. They just drug him. Just drug it, you know. Drug it out of that hole. Well, $1,000 for 15 minutes work. It's a two-hour minimum. So if you're going to drive a big vehicle, just know what the wrecker service is going to cost you if you have an incident, okay? And so he drove off the curb. Well, you know, we all do it, right? I mean, I've been a ditch, you've been a ditch, but what you want to do is get out of the ditch as soon as possible because the devil's charging you by the hour. You need to get out of the ditch. That ditch is dangerous. It's dangerous to stay in that ditch. You need to get out of that ditch. So if you find yourself in trouble, first thing you want to do, get out of trouble. Get out of the ditch. Get out of the ditch. Are you hearing? Get out of the ditch. Another more thing. You don't want to stay in that ditch. Next thing you know, well, how long you been here? Well, I've been here 10 years. Oh, boy, you know. How old's your little girl? Well, she's 13 now. And you've been in the ditch for 10 years? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Amen. You with me? It's imperative how we learn to hear and pay attention to these things. So, we don't have to stay in the ditch. We're going to have occasions that we just have an accident, an incident, as people like to say, and we're in the ditch, but we need to get out of that. But we can overcome if we pay attention and we listen well. Take your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is from, of course, the Apostle Paul. And I mentioned chapter 7. In chapter 7, where it's talking about what Paul said, what he would not, that he does, and things that he shouldn't do. And he says that sin dwelleth in me. Then he clarifies, that is in my flesh. So sin for the Christian doesn't dwell in the inward man. Sin dwells in the flesh. And that's a very important distinction that we need to make. In chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, Paul says in Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Should walk in newness of life. You've heard that often when somebody is baptized. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. which before had dominion over us, and as he's going to deal with here. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion. Dominion, it's important. No more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign, don't stay in the ditch, let it not reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart, not only heard, but obeyed from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now this word, dominion, it's a noun. It's the power of governing or control. It is a matter of authority or a sovereign authority over our lives or over territory, over our being, over our life. So we understand in theology, before salvation, before somebody is saved, who is their spiritual father? The devil. Ear of your father, the devil. Before somebody's saved, the father, spiritual father, is the devil. Because I wanted to clarify this because I had in my notes in the beginning, I said after salvation, God is our spiritual father, but it's really not just after salvation, it's at and after that God is now our spiritual father. Now in this world, there are three types or categories of men pertaining to this issue of hearing, and it's illustrated in one of the greatest stories ever told about the servant leader by the name of Moses. So if you would take your Bibles and go over to Exodus 12. We have three categories, of course, of mankind, men, when I say men, I'm talking about men and women both, pertaining to this issue today. We have, in a category, you have a lost person, a lost soul. They're undone, they're in their sin. You have the carnal Christian, and then you have the obedient or the blessed Christian. Relating to the hearing question, this will be no hearing, right? That would be the first. The second would be poor hearing. And the third would be good hearing. No hearing, poor hearing, good hearing. And that's the question for us tonight. We want to try to be sure that we're in the good hearing category. Now, for the sake of time, let's just look at this just a little bit. We know God had already brought about the plagues on Egypt. The last one was the death of firstborn, lest the home was under the blood of the lamb. And finally, after so much trouble, Pharaoh decided to let God's people go. But I want you to see here something in verse 37 and 38 of Exodus 12. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And a mixed multitude, went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Now you got to remember, Egypt is a picture of sin in the Word of God, and a mixed multitude went up with them. Now, so not only believing Jews, not only Jews, the Hebrew children, not only the Hebrews went up, but also those who had come alongside of them, also referred to as the God-fearers, in Scripture. So aren't you glad that anyone who can call the name or will call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved? I'm glad for that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Of course, I've already alluded to this earlier, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We know that the world through him might be saved. That's us. So the whole world is full of men, women, teenagers who refuse to listen to God. Matter of fact, the majority of the world fall into that category. The majority of the world fall into this category. They do not listen to God. They don't listen. It's not that they listen poorly. They don't listen at all. And because of that, they're wicked. Their hearts are full of sin, and they're wicked. And if they die in that state, it's not going to be a good ending to their story. Those refuse to listen to Christ. The Lord said in Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Now, we're not just talking about those who break the law on a southern border and perhaps are very wicked people. We're talking about anyone who doesn't listen to God. They're lost. They're lost. And they are in this broad way that leads to destruction. They may not be in destruction now, but they're in the way. They're walking that path that's going to lead to utter destruction. But contrary to that, opposing that, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Narrow is that way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So from that passage alone, and you don't have to use that passage alone, but from that passage alone, you can see the majority of humanity will not be going to heaven. The majority of humanity is in the ditch. And they're living in the ditch. And they don't realize how much damage they're doing to themselves and their families, children and grandchildren in the ditch. But they are in the ditch. So there is no question, most people on the earth do not and will not listen to God. And that's very unfortunate. But that's the reason the world is in the condition it's in today. Most are not listening to God. Now, if we as Christians are to live according to knowledge, and we are, we should not expect those who have not God as their spiritual father to act like they do. We should expect them to act like they do not. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord, paid the price for sin, but unless people listen to him, they will not be saved. They will not be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You said, that's pretty exclusive. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's just how Jesus made it be. So this first type of person or people, they will not hear God. Or they are not currently, you could say, hearing God. So let's turn our attention to the other two. The carnal Christian are those who are guilty of poor hearing, or the spiritual Christian, the abundant Christian, who has good hearing, not perfect hearing, but good hearing. You see the difference? Of course, nobody has on earth has perfect hearing. So Egypt, of course, is a type of sin, and God wants to deliver us from sin. Cain is a type of the Christian joy and fulfillment for the Christian life. And God wants all of his children to come out of that place of bondage into the promised land, into a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, some believers wrongfully think that Jesus only saves people, but he does not bless people on earth. In other words, the only blessings we really have is just to be saved. Now, I will tell you, I think the most paramount blessing is to be saved. I'd rather be crippled and go to heaven than have two good legs and go to hell. But that's not the total extent or blessedness of salvation. What a wonderful beginning to know that your sins are forgiven. I thank God my sins are forgiven. All of them? All of them. Past, present, and future. They're all forgiven me by the Lord. But the Lord still has more for me even in this life. And He has more for you in this life. Great joy and victory. The Lord said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is the promised land. The promised land is the type in Scripture, is not the type of heaven. It's the type of the abundant Christian living that God desires for us to enjoy. And that life, by the way, is still on earth. It's still on earth. Now, you could say, well, earth compared to heaven is like hell. Well, probably the person who says that has never been to hell and come back to talk about it. Because I doubt we would be saying something so silly as that if we had done so. But Christianity is not about heaven one day and nothing down here. There's much, much more to Christianity than, I'd say, just that. But I don't want to dismiss just that, because what a wonderful thing to know that I will be in heaven with my Lord and all my loved ones who've known the Lord. They've gone on before me and we'll be there together. It's also, Christianity is also about right now, about the blessedness of staying on the road and staying out of the ditch. Because if you stay on the road, you get to drive through the beautiful pastures and smell all the pretty things and see all the towering trees and the big, you know, red oaks, the redwoods, you know, that make everybody, I don't care how tall you are, how big you are, Shaq could go to the redwood forest up there and he would feel like a little bitty kid. I mean, grown men, old men, it didn't matter, you know, muscular men, weak looking men, everybody acted like a kid playing around in that forest, in the redwood forest. And I was no different. It just made you feel like you were a little kid playing around in God's trees, you know. Just amazing thing. I told somebody else the other day, if you ever get to travel, as a matter of fact, it was my dentist, if you ever get to travel and go and see, I want to retire one day and go travel, I said, you've got to go up to that part of Montana, and then you got to go over to Crater Lake. Miss Dory and I were there, and just a very few people were there, and it was pretty chilly. We couldn't see it that night. We got up early the next morning, went out there, and we got up there, and it was so quiet. It was so quiet. I told Dory, I said, it feels like if you say something, you're interrupting God. Don't say anything. Don't say nothing. That's what it felt like. It felt like you're just interrupting God. It was so powerful to be there. Now, I don't know. Other times it may have been hectic. I don't know. You say, well, what did you do under such a pristine, loving, beautiful occasion such as that? I said, I love Dory! It echoed all through the mountains, you know. She said, you're a crazy man, you're a crazy man. Well, that's true. But if you're always in the ditch, you're not going to see those beautiful things. You're not going to see them. You'll hear other people talk about them. But you'll never know about them firsthand. The beautiful things, I'm talking about the abundant Christian life, the beautiful things that God has planned and desires for you to have. And I'm not talking about health and wealth, prosperity, gospel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the true blessedness of walking with God and listening to Him carefully. There's a difference. There's a big difference between that. And then when you do see such wonderful things, you see it with a different eye than other people see the great and handiwork of Almighty God. Many believers are only getting about half of the way the promised land, really, and not really enjoying all that God has for us, even in this earth, walking as we are today, even with our children, with our grandchildren. Now get this, believer, God wants you to enjoy all that is in Christ, and that includes Canaan land. That includes this promised land. That includes the victorious Christian life. Now, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. I know that. Believe me, I know that. Yet, If we'll listen to God and we'll listen well, we can have better than we would than if we're poor hearers. If we're poor hearers, what happens is, well, I got distracted, I wasn't paying attention, and I'm back in the ditch again. Well, this time, it's taken me more money and more time to get that specialized record to get down here and get me out of the ditch. And now my wife's in the ditch too. She tried to get me out. She didn't really know what she's doing. She didn't know how to pull anybody out of the ditch anyway. I never taught her. Come on. Okay? And so now it's even worse. Now I called up one of my buddies, and now he's down here with his four-wheel drive, and he thinks because he has big tires on his four-wheel drive, he's going to pull a big U-Haul out of the big ditch. Now he's in the ditch too. And next thing you know, you've got a whole group of people that because you didn't listen, you got off the road, you're in the ditch, now all of them are in the ditch. Now listen, we don't live our lives as an island unto ourselves. Every decision I make and every decision you make, listening or not listening well, has an influence on other people. Doesn't it? It has an influence. And the better we listen, the better off we safeguard ourselves and safeguard many others around us. Many others. Because we are helping them, likewise, pay attention. Pay attention. Now, the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God that which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." What is the difference between a carnal believer and an obedient, blessed believer? Well, the difference is one who's listening well and one who's not. One who maybe is guilty of selective hearing a little bit too much, you know. Maybe a little bit too much. We pick up in the story of the people of Israel over against the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh in Exodus 14. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Great fear comes with all of this. What's going to happen now? Some of the rain's coming. Well, I'm up here on the hill. I'm on the road. No, you're not on the hill. You're actually in the ditch, and it's a big bar ditch, and it's pretty deep, and the rains are falling. Now, all of a sudden, the water's coming up, and the U-Haul's going down. Fear sets in. Fear. Children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dwelt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word which we did tell thee in Egypt?" In other words, we were not good hearers then, and we're still not. "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians." They're not listening well. God never intended for His people to be serving the Egyptians. God never intended His children to live serving the lost. Never intended that. "It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness." They left Egypt, but it was not long, as we read the history, they were not listening again. They murmured against the Lord in the wilderness. And let's take a look what happened in Numbers 13. Verse 17, "And Moses sent the spy out the land to Canaan and said unto them, Go you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or few or weak or few or many, and what is the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities that they be that dwell in, and whether in tents or strongholds, what is the land." In other words, all the details of the land. "And they sent in the spies of the land, and after 40 days they brought back huge clusters of grapes to show the blessings of God that could be theirs if they would listen and obey." Listen and do. "They returned, gave a good report." At least it started off well. Then, of course, unfortunately, it went south. Verse 27, "And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey." No doubt, God's word is true. "And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, someday I'm going to preach a message, an entire message surrounding this one word. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land." Well, did he say the people wouldn't be strong? He never said the people would be strong. He just said that I'm going to give it to you. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30, and Caleb. Thank God for the Calebs. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." But they're not stronger than God. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, and which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We're nothing in their sight. Did God give them or not give them the land," according to Genesis 15? Yes, he did. But instead of listening to God, they decided to start listening to all the naysayers. "We can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it." They did not need their enemies to put them down. They put themselves down. They didn't have to have anybody run them off the road. They willingly drove off the road. Why? Refusing to listen well to God. They willingly drove off of the road. I'm out of time. Let me see what I can finish up here with. In two passages in Peter, let me just give you a summary of this. 2 Peter. First is in 1 Peter, and the second is in 2 Peter. Matter of fact, I'll give you the references. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. The second is 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. The first passage here in 1 Peter deals with our salvation and our eternal home in heaven. Peter, in his second epistle here, the second passage, deals more with the abundance that we have now in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved, yes. We are blessed, yes. But the blessing is more than my future home is in heaven when I die. I want you to know, as I think the kids sang a song the other day, God has been good, so good to me. Well, I'm not in heaven yet. But boy, God's been good to me. Good. So good. Not just good. So good. I have been blessed. Anyone know the song? I have been blessed. God, what's in the, can help me out here? Something to help him. Help him out, Kelsey. Help him out. Help Mama out. Yep, come on, Courtney. God has been good. So good to me. The point is, not only in the hereafter, but right now. Right now. To have a Christian home. To have a Christian family. To have Christian parents. To have Christian children. To have Christian church members, brothers and sisters in Christ, who pray for you and love you, encourage you, make you some cookies every once in a while. A man takes your hand, looks at you right in the eyes, right in the spirit, you know, says, "I'm praying for you this week. I know it's a tough week. I've been blessed." What's the difference? Using these things on the side of your head, sometimes a little, sometimes a little big. But we need to use them. So what's the difference between the carnal believer and the faithful believer, the blessed believer? Listening well. Listening well. The carnal Christian is one who hears, but hears poorly. Hear poorly. The other day, Brother Colt, he was telling me, said, well, you know, if you're having, I was having an earache, and I couldn't hardly ever get it to heal, and I was trying to boil it out with peroxide and sticking a Q-tip way down in there and leaving it in there, you know, because it was already getting swelled up and trying to get an infection, you know. And he says, you need to use that thing I've got in my house, you know, and it will clean out your ears. You just squirt it all down there and it'll clean out your ears. And I thought, well, I got something at the house that will do that. It's called a water pick. You use it to clean your teeth out, you know. And I thought, well, that man, if his works fair, that ought to work real good, you know, real good. And so I thought, well, you know, it has a little bitty hole in that end of that little tip thing, a little crookedy thing on the end of it, you know. We can get on the inside of your tooth. And man, I said, where's this thing been all of my life? And it's got to have more than one good use. So I was thinking, you know, if his thing would work so-so, this will work really good. I mean, it's sort of like the tool man, you know. I mean, this is going to do it, man. This is, man, I tell you what, I'm not going to have any ear infection after this. I probably wouldn't have an eardrum either. But I told my wife, I said, what do you think about me using my tooth, what do you call it? Water pick. Oh, yeah, water pick to blast that stuff out of my ear. She said, you can't do that. And I said, why not? And I said, she said, well, it would damage your ear. You just have permanent damage to your ear. You just can't do that. And I said, well, I was going to take a knife and open up the end of it a little bit so it wouldn't spray quite so hard. And she still thought it was a bad idea. But it might be a great invention. Some of you guys may come up with something like that. Just turn a water pick into an ear pick or ear thing, you know. It may work out pretty good. I didn't try it because I still had a good ear and I was listening to my wife, so I decided not to go for it. But had I not listened well, I'd be more than half deaf now because I would have blown my brains out, you know, with that water pick. So be careful who you listen to and how well we listen to God. And it'll help us to stay out of the ditches. Let's stand.